Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gaurava Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Srimad Bhagavatam 29:47 Tasmat Karma Sutra Nishman Jnana Artha Akashishu Mata Dristim Krta Srotra Aspreshta,
Tasmat karma shu vartishman
Tasmat karma shu vartishman
Ajnana artaka shishu
Ajnana artaka shishu
Marta drishtim tada shrotra
Marta drishtim tada shrotra
Varsishu ap asprishta vastasu
Varsishu asprishta vastasu
तस्मात् कर्मशुभक्ष्मान्
तस्मात् कर्मशुभक्ष्मान्
अज्ञानतो काशिषु
अज्ञानात् काशिषु
आर्तदृष्टिं खड्गस्तोत्रा
आर्तदृष्टिं खड्गस्तोत्रा
अर्थस्य वास्तुषु
अर्थस्य वास्तुषु तस्मात्
कर्मशुभक्ष्मान्
अज्ञानात् काशिषु
Asma, therefore, karmasu, in plural activities, Bhagishman, O King Prachnabharchat, Agyanat, out of ignorance, Artakashu, in glittering fruit of result.
Never.
Artadrishtam. Considering to be the aim of life. Kutta. Do. Srota sparshishu. Pleasing to the ear. Aspirishta.
Without touching.
Vastushu. Real interest.
Real interest.
Translation by dear King Bhagishman, you should never out of ignorance take to the Vedic rituals or to fruit of activity which may be pleasing to hear about or which may appear to be the goal of self-interest. You should never take these to be the ultimate goal of life. Wherever in Bhagavad Gita it is said, men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas which recommend various fruit of activities for elevation of heavenly planets, result in good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification, opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. Generally, people are very much attracted to the fruit of activities sanctioned in the Vedic rituals. One may be very attracted to becoming elevated to heavenly planets by performing great sacrifices like those of King Bhagishman. Sri Narada Muni wanted to stop King Bhagishman from engaging in such fruit of activities. Therefore, he is now directly telling him, don't be interested in such temporary benefits. In modern civilization, people are very much interested in exploiting the resources of material nature through the method of science. Indeed, this is considered advancement. This is not actually advancement, however, but it's simply pleasing to hear. Although we are advancing according to such concocted methods, we are giving a real purpose. Bhaktivinoda Thakura therefore says, Jara vidya jata maya vai bhav toma bhajane bada. Materialist studies with the glare of maya only and for their obstacle to spiritual progress. The temporary comforts of life experienced either on this planet or on other planets are all to be taken as illusory because they do not touch the real purpose of life. The real purpose of life is to go back home, back to Godhead, ignorant of the real purpose of life. People are either gross materialist activities or ritualist activities. King Bhagishman is here in the best not to be attached to such activities. In the Vedas, it is stated that the performance of sacrifice is the actual purpose of life. A section of the Indian population known as the Arya Samaj laid too much stress on the sacrificial portion of the Vedas. This verse indicates, however, that the sacrifice is to be taken as illusory. Actually, the aim of human life should be God realization of Krishna consciousness. The Vedic performances are, of course, very glittering and pleasing to hear about, but they do not serve the real purpose of life. Those who are less intelligent accept the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies as all in all. They do not know the purpose of Vedas is to understand one's own home, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead lives. Not being interested in the real home, they are illusion and search after other homes. Purport generally, people are not aware of their interest in life to return back home, back to Godhead. People do not know about their real home and spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there are many life with the planets. The topmost planet is Krishna Loka, Loka, or Vrindavan. Despite so-called advancement of civilization, there's no information of the Vaikuntha Lokas, the spiritual planets, at the present moment. So-called advanced civilized men are trying to go to other planets, but they do not know that even if they go to higher planetary systems like Brahma Loka, they have to come back again to this planet. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. From the highest planet of material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. The one who attains my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. If one goes to the higher planetary system within this universe, he still has to return after the effects of pious activities are finished. space vehicles may go very high in the sky, but as soon as their fuel is finished, they have to return to the surface of the planet. All these activities are performed in illusion. The real attempt should we go now be to return home back to Godhead. The process is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Mad Yajano Imam. Those who engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of God return home back to Godhead. Human life is very valuable, and one should not waste it in vain exploration of other planets. One should be intelligent enough to return to Godhead. One should be interested in information about the spiritual life of the planets, and in particular, the planet knows to go to Vrindavan, and should learn the art of going there by the simple method of devotional service beginning with hearing. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavatam. One can go to the Supreme Planet simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. This has been especially for the people of this age. It is a special advantage of this age that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha mantra, one can become purified of all material contamination and turn home back to God. That there is no doubt about this. Translation, my dear King, Bhadish Manu should never out of ignorance take to the Vedic rituals or to fruit activity which may be pleasing to hear about or which may appear to be the goal of self-interest. You should never take these as the ultimate goal of life. Those who are less intelligent accept the Vedic ritual ceremonies as all in all. They do not know that the purpose of the Vedas is to understand one's own home, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead lives. Not being interested in the real home, they are illusioned and search after other homes. So, here, Narada Muni directly states the whole purpose of his story, and that is that the king should not be interested in these activities for prosperity in the material world, which we generally call karma yoga or karma kanda, etc. Though one may believe that they will give nice results. And certainly the nice results are promised in the Vedas themselves. And, of course, we have so many examples of people that get results from doing these activities. So in one sense, it's not completely false because you get certain results. But it is false in the sense that this is not the real goal in life. Yes, we get results, but these material results are not lasting, and ultimately they're frustrating. So, therefore, Narada Muni is encouraging the king to understand that all such activities, even though they're glorified in the Vedas, and they are pleasing to hear about, and the goals are very nice, whatever, and the experiences are very nice, still, don't think that that is the real aim of life. So therefore he says, amakrita, artha dristam. Don't think of that as the ultimate goal. For people who are, of course, lower consciousness, they will be happy with these things. But one who is more intelligent will understand that along with these things, one also has to cultivate spiritual life. And a king especially has to be aware of this. So that is why Narada Muni is giving this instruction to the king. Other people, of course, may not be qualified for this instruction. So it's not going to tell them to give up these activities. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, don't disturb the minds of ignorant people and tell them to give up karma. But here we see that Narada Muni is saying, yes, you should actually not actually give it up, but you should understand this is not the only thing, and therefore you should concentrate on other things. Even though you may do these things, do them in a secondary way. And the main thing is to understand that this is not going to solve all the problems. So therefore he says, do not take this as the ultimate goal of everything. So unfortunately, people sometimes get caught up in the Vedic rituals and Vedic procedures because they think that this is Veda, so this is authorized. And that is true. It is better than doing nothing. It is better than doing sinful activities. It is better than simply endeavoring in the material world and struggling to survive. We have some system. by which we can actually get some good results without committing sin. Yes, it's good in that sense. But as far as being the ultimate goal, no. So artha, dharma, kama are sublime by karma yoga. But it's not the real satisfying thing for jiva. So, people who are intelligent will therefore strive for something beyond this. And what do they have to do? They will have to ultimately get the mercy of devotees, hear the message of scripture, and understand that we're not the body, we're the soul. And this is exactly what Narada told the king through the example of Paranjana in his body. And then, once we understand that, we have to recognize the Supreme Lord and establish a relationship with Him. So therefore, at the very beginning of the story, the Agata Saka, or the unknown friend, was introduced. And he was observing everything, but he was unknown to Paranjana. And then later on in the next birth, finally, the king as a woman, Vaidarbhi, takes to devotional service or bhakti, and then gets a revelation from the Supreme Lord in the form of the Brahma. So, therefore, after this karma kanda, etc., we have to realize that we are not the body at all, and we have a relationship with the Supreme Lord. So we can't end simply with understanding I'm not the body. This will give us moksha. It will not give us anything higher than that. So, artha, dharma, kama, moksha are the four goals of human life in general. But, as Lord Chaitanya says, the fifth goal is prema. So beyond that, we have the process of bhakti to attain prema. So that is the real goal. And therefore, at the end of the story, Narada Muni introduced the symbolism to show the mala, dwaja, and vaidarbhi. This represents the process of bhakti. So, one must go beyond artha, dharma, kama, and moksha ultimately and come to the position of devotional service. If we do not do so, then the jiva is not satisfied. It's not satisfied if it remains in the material world because it will continue to take birth and death in some planet. And if we get dhyana, then we get liberation, and we are devoid of material bodies, but still we don't have a relationship with the Lord. So therefore this is not a real satisfying position for the jiva. So the only position actually is to establish a relationship with the Lord. And in the second verse here, Narada Muni says, yes, these people, they do not know swam lokam. They do not know their real home, the real place, the real loka, where the Supreme Lord resides. So the people who follow karma kanda especially think only in terms of the material world. They don't think of anything beyond that. Those who do jnana, yes, they think of something beyond the material world, but the extent of that is simply extinguishing the material world. So they don't think of a place somewhere else. So, the devotees, on the other hand, understand that by performance of bhakti, they establish themselves in the world of the Supreme Lord. And that becomes svamlokam, the place of their own place and the place of the Supreme Lord. So that is where the jiva actually will be completely satisfied, no, in no other place.
Why Krishna repeats that particular instruction two times?
What's that?
One should not preach, one should not tell them to change their duties.
Well, he says that many times, he also says you don't to perform your own duty rather than somebody else's duty. And that comes up twice in the Bhagavad Gita as well. Why he says that, that's from the point of view of karma yoga. Obviously, he says, Sarvadharma Kajaja, so just give it all up, also. So, it's a relative statement. Just as he says, worship the Devatas, and all your desires are fulfilled in chapter 3, and then in chapter 9, he says, give up the worship of Devatas, this is for less intelligent people. So we cannot always take literally the statements even of Krishna. He makes certain statements in certain places, and then he'll make another opposite statement somewhere else. So we have to take one statement as relative. Of course, that means it is meant for certain people. So those people who are attached to that system and are not qualified for anything else, yes, let them follow the system of karma and not go beyond their gunas or whatever like that. But by the process of bhakti, one transcends all gunas anyway. So that's why Bhagavatam says, one who remembers the Lord and chants his name, he can do the soma yagya or a savana. He can do the yagyas, which is a brahmana's papa, even if he's a chandala. So obviously he's already doing something beyond his varna, but it's allowed in that sense.
So which means there has to be a basic ability to discriminate by preaching.
Yeah. So one has to see the qualification of a person. If he has no faith, you cannot preach to him these things. They won't accept it anyway. And of course, someone without faith isn't going to accept scripture at all, basically. So whatever you say is not going to make any much sense to them.
And Maharaj, there is dharma, it's a tam. But Krishna also says that he is the maintainer of all the living entities.
Mm-hmm.
So even if one does not follow this very process, Krishna will still be bound to maintain that living entity?
Yeah. He maintains them, but they also get the suffering more, in more degree. Yeah, so they get karma. Yes, they get maintained, but they also get karma. So they have to suffer for their sinful activities. And in the Varnashram system, yes, they also suffer, but it's much less. And there's ways of preventing the suffering to a large degree.
Gracias.